Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to Milwaukee. The last words you expected to hear on the show in March. Great to have you with us today. A lot to talk about with Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling, will be on today. By the way, Bo Nickel and Zane Rutherford, both finalists for the Hodge Award. Rutherford should win it again. And Pro Day today at Penn State. Saquon Barkley did exactly what many of the media did today. He watched. That was what he did. He watched. There's no need for him to do anything else. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Like I said, I'd pull him aside and say, Say, you're running the final 40 of your life. You don't have to run anymore. You're done. It was an important day, though, for Deshaun Hamilton. He ran a 4.47, from what I understand. Christian Campbell's had a really good day today. It's helped him out as well. I think Jason Kabinda and Marcus Allen both helped each other out, helped themselves out. Three general managers were there today, including Kevin Colbert. And he did bring his secondary coach with him, Tom Bradley. So they were taking a long look at the Penn State prospects today. There were three general managers there. I know the Carolina Panthers' new GM was there, and I can't remember off the top of my head who the third general manager was that was there today. But they drew a crowd, and what was interesting is that James Franklin says top five teams in the draft, top five teams in the draft, not one has called for any additional information about Saquon Barkley. Tell us what kind of guy he is, what kind of kid he is. No. I think they've figured out right away what kind of guy he is and what kind of kid he is. That's interesting. Didn't have any calls. James has had no calls from the top five teams in the draft saying, well, what do you think of? No. Tell us a little bit more about Saquon. Nope. Very, very interesting. And today he says, hey, look, they asked him about it today, and he said, look, I said, whatever team picks me, I'm going to work my butt off for, to use his words. So, that is, that's Pro Day. And by the way, somebody else who didn't do anything today was Mike Gesicki. Mike didn't do much. I think Mike may have run a couple routes, I guess. But Mike's now got himself where he is in a first-round position. I mean, a lot of people think he is now a late first-round position. And if you're in that spot, what more do you need to do? Because Mike's going to interview well. Mike's a smart, highly intelligent kid. So he'll do well. But I think that there's no need for him to do anything. I think Deshaun Hamilton, now think about the 3 months Deshaun Hamilton has had. Deshaun Hamilton had an outstanding Fiesta Bowl against Washington. He followed that up with an outstanding East-West game. Remember, Deshaun was not initially on the Senior Bowl list. We had Phil Savage on. Well, they had an opening, and after the Senior Bowl, after the East-West game, Phil's people got a hold of Deshaun's people and said, hey, look, why don't you bring him down to Mobile? And he put together a great week of Mobile, another really good game. Then he combined well out in Indianapolis, and he was better today. He's had a great 3 months. And for somebody of his character, and Deshaun certainly has great character. I mean, you can't care for his brother as much as he has in his life and come from a military family like he does. He's a yes sir, no sir kind of guy. And Marcus Allen ran well today. Marcus Allen ran the 4.5s today, which is good. That's good because Marcus can not only play the safety spot, but Marcus is also a guy that can creep up into the box. So that's how Pro Day went today. And a guy like Christian Campbell, who did not run, by the way, at the Combine, ran today. Okay? He's had a little bit. He tweaked his back a little bit down in Mobile. So, you know, he didn't want to do anything at the Combine in Indy. He interviewed. But speed, he showed his athleticism today. Everybody already knows he has speed. He's got length. Like the first four or five games of 2016, he slumped. And then the last like 9-10 games of the 2016 season, he was fabulous. Played really well. And then this past season in 17, he was outstanding. And so people initially wanted to pick on him. And then all of a sudden they started looking around and said, we can't pick on him. Can't do it. So that's how Pro Day went. It's quite a time at Penn State, isn't it, Sean?
Hey, stranger, how you been? Been a while.
Doing well.
You're
doing
well.
Great to have you back.
Yes, great to be back. And what a magical weekend. Penn State on, of all days, St. Patrick's Day, going to Notre Dame and getting a great win. Penn State wrestling with quite the magical performance in Cleveland on Saturday night. Pro Day. I mean, going back to what you just said about Saquon Barkley and no calls regarding. I mean, that shortens up the vetting process, doesn't it? Usually we hear
what
so
kind
many.
Of guy is he?
I mean, we hear so many stories, but it's the other way around, right?
Right.
This is refreshing. It's great.
this is what you're hoping for. If you're a Penn State fan, this has to be riding that crest of something right now. Football is back in contention. They have a pro day that is drawing huge crowds, which is great for the program, great for the campus, great for the young men that are going through the process. It shows Penn State's ability to develop players physically, mentally along the way. The wrestling program, 7 out of 8. Doing it in dramatic fashion. And look, Penn State winning 7 out of 8 in wrestling is exponentially more important than the streak Iowa put together. And I give Iowa all the credit in the world under Dan Gable for what they did year in and year out. But Penn State's doing it during the television era. Penn State wrestles an exciting style that makes wrestling look more entertaining. Iowa was never an entertaining wrestling unit. They won. And that was the most important part. They won. But Iowa didn't draw more fans to the sport. Penn State, at least, I think, draws more fans to the sport because they're exciting to watch. They're a dynamic group. I mean, look at Nick Lee in the opening match of the whole tournament. He tried to go for something big, and it backfired, and he lost. Okay. Well, he went for something big in a couple of other bouts in the wrestle back, so he wrestled himself all the way back. They're entertaining. They're fun. And as I said yesterday, the most intriguing one of all was not the Bo Nickel one, but it was Vincenzo Joseph against Isaiah Martinez. I know Isaiah Martinez has won twice in his life. All right? But if you're watching TV, and this is the problem I've got with how TV is done, they try to come up with a storyline. Right? And this is where, for example, when it comes to storyline, remember, the suit has always been big, for example, on storylines. How often has he talked to us about storylines? He likes the good opening, the storyline, and things like that. All right, and that's fine because it's part of the show. I mean, everybody has their own opinion as to what to do, and that draws him in, right? And we've kidded about it, but now I'm being dead serious about it. There's no kidding here in this segment about that. And what I watched over the weekend was I watched storylines where it got so embedded that in the end they lost control of the storyline. And here are the two examples. Isaiah Martinez, I waited 364 days for this. You waited 364 days to score 1 point? Really? And it took them off guard that Vincenzo Joseph not only beat him, he dominated him. Well, they didn't know what to do with it on TV. I mean, really, they're like, they're dumbfounded by it.
That's what's great about watching collegiate wrestling. You just never know. You just never know when or two split seconds are going to make or break not only an individual performance and a team performance as well.
Right. That's with any sport, though. And you know, it really is with any sport.
You try to predict it, and it can go in a completely different direction.
But they lost control of it, and the guy that's the defending champion ended up winning with relative ease, I don't think got the credit he deserved. I mean, he took this guy, and I'm sorry, but Isaiah Martinez, after he figured out in the first 60 seconds, he couldn't get to him. The next 6 minutes, he was shot. Now the other one was North Carolina, Texas A&M. Did you listen to the last 5 minutes of that game?
Very lukewarm. Milk toast.
Oh, North Carolina, what a great program. I mean, Joel Berry, I hope they'll be okay from all this and blah, blah, blah. They're going on and on about, they've won 11 games in the NCAA tournament the last 2 years. Do you know how much praise all of those guys have had? Joel Berry's had a ton of praise the last 2 years. Luke May got praise for what he did last year. Theo Pinson, they've talked about left and right. And they've earned every accolade they've been able to get. Okay? Texas A&M ran them out of the building. How about talking about Texas A&M? How about talking about how great they're doing?
And you know
how great they're playing.
And you saw them months ago.
North Carolina has Right, again, my problem is that they get so married to the storyline, then when it goes kablooey, they don't know what to do with it.
It seems like they went to more crowd shots just to see the stone cold look faces of the Tar Heel fans, just to kind of fill time.
Well, yeah, there's more of them in there because it was in Charlotte. It was a North Carolina crowd. Essentially, North Carolina lost a home game. But again, TV's got to get a better handle on what they're doing. They can't get so married to Isaiah Martinez. Isaiah Martinez. What do you mean he's losing? Now what do we do? I don't know anything about the other kid. All right. Now we get to the North Carolina. What do you mean Texas A&M is killing him? Oh, I don't really know a lot about them. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's just they're not doing a service to fans out there when they get so embedded with it. They're not doing a service with all. And I'm talking about somebody who's been in this thing for a long time, and they know how these meetings go. So I don't want anybody from CBS or ESPN. Well, you don't understand. No, I do understand, okay? I'm not some 18-year-old that just came out of the communications class.
And that was the A-team calling that game. What makes it even more glaring.
Look, I know they know the North Carolina kids really, really, really well. I got that part because when you've been in the Final Four and in the championship game in each of the last 2 years, your contact with Bill Raftery and Grant Hill and Jim Nance is going to be exponential compared to the shoot-around contact you have with Texas A&M. Okay? So they've sat down with Joel Berry. They know he's a great, great kid. They know he's an excellent college basketball player. So they know them much better. I get all that part. But there's got to be a certain part North Carolina's gone, and guess what? The team that beat them really beat them. Right? And the game wasn't in Texas. The game was in North Carolina. You got to get a handle on that. You got to give credit where credit is due instead of taking the known entity and, well, you know, gee, you know, come on, cut me a break. I'm sitting there. I almost turned it off because I said, this is all wrong. This is all wrong. You got to give credit to where the winners are. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment as we continue here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right. Spring Alliance of American Football. How about that? The Alliance of American Football. This is something that actually they want to do starting February 9th next year, the week after the Super Bowl. They want to do this. And CBS Sports is going to carry some of the games. They're going to carry a game every week, including the championship game in late April. They want eight franchises. They've got a lot of big people in this. Bill Polian is helping to oversee the league. Troy Polamalu is overseeing the players' side of it. And in order to get people to go see the games, he's willing to sign anybody's jerseys. Oh, come on. Come on. You know what I'm talking about.
Vince McKay. Vince McMahon's on line two. This is interesting.
Yeah.
This is going to be interesting to see what he thinks about that.
Right. We'll see. He doesn't start for another year after that. Let's see. J.K. McKay, who's been an executive in the league. Advisors include Hines Ward and Justin Tuck and Dick Ebersol. Now, they don't want to challenge the NFL. It's going to be rosters of 50 players, eight cities. Now, here's the part, and they're going to announce in the next 3 months who the eight cities happen to be. And they're going to be built primarily through a regionally based draft. I'll explain the brilliance of that when we come back in the next half hour. There will be no TV timeouts, 60% fewer commercials. Other differences will include no kickoffs. Instead of an onside kick, the trailing team that receives the ball on their own 35 will have a fourth down and 10. If they convert, they can keep the ball. There will also be a 30-second play clock and a mandatory two-point conversion after a touchdown. Yeah. Those things are not bad. In terms of ideas. And they're not there to compete with the NFL. The NFL, I think, is going to look at this with great interest because, let's face it, they're looking for players all the time. If they now see a few guys that stand out in practical application over eight games, this can end up being a really good feeder system for the NFL. Where you see a guy playing, say, in Philadelphia in the spring, and suddenly the Eagles invite him to camp in the summer. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Kulong and Jeff Byers today. Neil at 4:06 and Jeff in the final half hour talking about what a run by the Nittany Lion wrestling team. Penn State Marquette tonight, 7 o'clock. We're on at 6:30 on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us here in Milwaukee, where Penn State will take on Marquette tonight in the NIT quarterfinals. They can shoot. Woo. They can flat out shoot. Marcus Howard, Andrew Rousey, Sam Hauser, all outstanding three-point shooters. And they are really good at the free throw line. They've hit 80% of their free throws this year. Now, inside game, not so much. They get 42% of their points outside the arc. Excuse me, 42% of their points inside the arc, 41% outside of the arc. Defensively, though, not a great defensive team. You're saying, well, how can this team shoot the ball so well and they're in the NIT? That's the issue. They can score a lot of points, but they give up a lot of points. And it is, I think, it's going to be a really fun, entertaining game tonight. Between Shep Garner, Tony Carr, Josh Reeves, you're going to have some threes going up tonight. And expect Josh Reeves, by the way, to be on Rousey to start the game. Okay. Rousey has 104 career double-figure games. 104. He had 22 in the first half against Oregon, 29 for the game. I mean, he can shoot. Now, is he a good ball handler? No. Is he a good defender? No. But can he shoot? Oh, yeah. He can shoot. No question about that. So that will be the matchup tonight, 7 o'clock on at 6:30 on WKOK, streaming live on WKOK.com, and, of course, the Penn State Sports Network. We will have in the next half hour Neil Kulong. We'll talk about the Steelers draft. Now, Kevin Colbert was at Hulubah Hall today, and Tom Bradley was there as well. Colbert was one of three NFL general managers there today. And it was an interesting workout because I think there are several players that helped themselves by how things went today. And the when you look at Christian Campbell, did nothing, for example, at except for interview. Then that's not, you shouldn't say he did nothing because the interview part's very important. Christian Campbell did not do a lot and did nothing physically at the combine in Indianapolis. So today was an important day for him to get out there and to show it, and he did. He ran a really good time, from what I understand. High jump, broad jump, all that stuff. I mean, you know, he did, from my understanding, he did really, really well. Really well. And that is, that's a plus for him. Deshaun Hamilton, my understanding is he ran 4.47 today. That's my understanding what he did. He ran 4.47. And that's going to really help him. Hamilton has been on an absolute roll since before the Fiesta Bowl. Fiesta Bowl game, great game. Not a good game. He had a great game against Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. He followed that up with a fabulous weekend game at the East-West game. He then was not initially invited to the Senior Bowl, but then after the East-West game, they said, hey, look, we have an opening. Let's get this guy in. He went down to Mobile, and he turned in a great week in Mobile and then a terrific game in the Senior Bowl. All right. So now he gets himself going to after that to the Combine, where he combined well, and he did even better today. I mean, he's on a three-month roll. Marcus Allen had a good day today. Marcus Allen said he ran in the 4.5s today, which is a big plus. And, see, he's a guy who can play in the box and he can play deep. He gives that versatility. So it sounds like Marcus Allen's helping himself. Jason Kabinda did well, from what I understand. And I mentioned Christian Campbell did well. But it's also, this is where having Saquon Barkley as a teammate helps you. A lot of people want to go out and they want to see Barkley one more time today. And it gave additional looks to other players that I think can play in the game. You know, Apke, of course, didn't run. Gesicki didn't. I mean, what, Apke's going to run better than a 4.34? I don't think so. He could, but why bother? Grant Haley. Penn State's got, you know, and other guys. Curtis Cothran. Looks like Curtis Cothran lost some weight. Maybe thinking about being maybe an edge guy, a defensive end. He originally came into Penn State as an edge guy. He was a defensive end when he originally got to Penn State. He then put on some weight, moved to defensive tackle, and he did well. He did very well at defensive tackle. And, I mean, credit where credit is due. He was able to have a good... So those are the guys that had good days today for Penn State. Obviously, I wasn't there, so everything's been reports from people I trust that were in there and talk. And here's the interesting part. James Franklin, and how many calls you got from the top five teams about Saquon?
None.
What? We'd like to know more about him. No, no need. We got enough info. We're good. So... Barkley said he woke up this morning and the game plan was to run routes. But then I realized there wasn't any running backs coaches here. I figured there was no point for me to run routes and do drills if they didn't have their running backs coaches there. So he didn't do it. He said he'll probably do one or two workouts depending on the advice he receives from his team. I'm over this stage running in shorts and sweatshirts, Barkley said. That's cool and all. But I'm not a combine guy. I want you to throw on the film. I want to show that I'm a football player. Good for him. Let's see. He says he agrees with James Franklin, who said that the combine wasn't his best. It wasn't. Look, I mean, I watched him run 4.33. Now, James says he saw him do 34 because he's around it more than I am. The most I've seen Barkley do when I was there was 30 reps. He did 29. 42-inch vertical, 30 to 35 reps on the bench press he's done. During training, Barkley said he ran a 4.29. I believe that. So there you go. I saw something about the Cleveland Browns about drafting Darnold and Denzel Ward. Are you kidding me? You're kidding me, right? Okay. I got to give you credit. You keep being the Cleveland Browns.
Opens the door for you-know-who at number two. Yeah.
And the New York Giants.
Yep.
He would make the Giants. And not only that, the Giants went out and got linemen. Mo Bamba is entering the NFL draft. Mo Bamba of Texas is entering the NBA draft. And Trae Young is entering the NBA draft from Oklahoma. No surprise, either one. Everyone expected that. So those are some of the elements out there news-wise. Next half hour, by the way, Neil Kulong will talk about the NFL draft and also about some of the rules with the NFL in terms of what's a catch. Sounds like they're changing it. And that's a plus. We'll talk to Neil about that. And then Jeff Byers on the NCAA Wrestling Championships in the final half hour. Then basketball tonight, Penn State and Marquette, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK and streaming live on WKOK.com and, of course, the Penn State Sports Network. All right, this new football league, we got to take those audition tapes that the Soup puts together all the time. We got to send it to one of these franchises.
Why not?
What do you think?
Sure.
Hey, let's start. What are the pluses? Let's start with road trips. All right. Let's see.
Put the he saw what I saw cut right at the top of the line and let the chips fall where they may. Right.
I'd insert that three different times in there. Okay, now the alliance
But if his air check only can go a minute and a half, that'll fill it.
Believe me, it'll make the impact that we're looking for. The Alliance of American Football plans to debut February 9th next year. All right, a week after the Super Bowl. They will have 8 50-man teams, so 400 players. The season goes 10 weeks. The final week of the season is in April. And it sounds like if they keep the draft where it is, the draft goes Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If they play it that Sunday, that means it completes the football weekend. Let's see. Charlie Ebersole has brought in former NFL general manager Bill Polian. They've also brought in former Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, who says in order to entice the suit to announce their games, he's going to give them an autographed jersey. And that will be the payment, by the way. And the team side will be guided by former USC standout and executive J.K. McKay. Former players like Hines Ward and Justin Tuck are also involved as advisors. And they said, look, there are 28,000 Division I football players. Only 1,700 have NFL jobs, Ebersole said. We're looking for the Kurt Warners working at grocery stores, and we think we can find them. And again, now remember, let's talk about one of the really great players in the NFL for many years, Sam Mills. Now, Sam Mills in the 80s and 90s was outstanding with the Saints. But where did the Saints discover him? Playing for the Philadelphia Baltimore Stars in the USFL. Sam Mills did not have the measurables to be in the NFL. But he showed by how he played in the USFL that he was a football player. And so New Orleans was like, yeah, we'll take him. Bobby Hebert, I mean, a lot of guys did that. So they also want to regionalize this, which I think is smart. And this is where the USFL, I think, had initial success of drawing in casual fans. If you have regional drafts protecting eligible players who played at local colleges, like say, for example, they put a team in Philadelphia. And Penn State is one of those. And remember Penn State's Philadelphia's USFL team, the Philadelphia Stars? Chuck Fusina was the quarterback. Scott Fitzky played at wide receiver. Dave Ofer was there. They had a lot of Penn State. They had 8 or 9 Penn State guys, 10 Penn State guys playing on that team. At least casually, it drew you an interest into, hey, how are the Penn State guys doing? And now you watch, and maybe you like it, and maybe you watch a little bit more, you like it a little bit more. And I think as a marketing tool, I think it's brilliant. There'll be no TV timeouts, 60% fewer commercials. CBS Sports Net, by the way, is going to carry the games. No onside kicks, ball put automatically at the 25-yard line, no kickoffs. So those are some of the elements they're putting into it. And I'm telling you, I think there are 8 jobs available where they're looking for somebody clairvoyant. Where, for example, say a Penn State defensive back is playing for Philadelphia and sees the play, and the announcer on the air can say, he saw what I saw. Don't you think that that would be the kind of... In fact, why don't we just send it in without his knowledge, see how it goes? What do you think? We'll come back with more in a moment. From Milwaukee on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us in Milwaukee today. Penn State basketball tonight with Marquette in the NIT quarterfinals. The winner goes to Madison Square Garden to take on the winner of Louisville and Mississippi State, which is the second game tonight at 9 o'clock, both games on ESPN. Of course, you can listen to tonight's Penn State Marquette game at 7 o'clock this evening, 6:30 the airtime on News Radio 1070 WKOK, streaming live on WKOK.com, and, of course, on the Penn State Sports Network. Next half hour, Neil Coulon. We'll talk about the Steelers, the draft, and some potential rules changes for the NFL. Looks like they're very close, by the way, to getting the catch rule to be more of a common sense rule. So we'll talk about that. Then the final half hour, Jeff Byers is going to join us on the show to recap what he saw firsthand in Cleveland as he announced another wrestling championship, the seventh in the last 8 years for the Nittany Lions. It really is, that's a dynasty right there. I mean, flat out a dynasty, and they've earned that distinction. They are entertaining, they're exciting, and they are dominant. And Penn State is the best in the business at it. So it's a great time. It's a great time you're a Penn State fan. You get a wrestling program that's great, and there are a lot of wrestling fans in the state. It's also, you know, relatively deep sport when it comes to in terms of high school wrestling. Like most other sports, participation is down. And that's the same with a lot of sports right now. It's a big concern. I have a lot of participation being down for sports. Even participation in wrestling is down in Pennsylvania. But Penn State football, look what they've done. Hey, now they're in the national conversation all the time now. Look at the big turnout they had today over at Hulubha Hall for Pro Day. And then this run by the basketball team. They won 23 games this year. They won four of their five games here in the month of March. They play an entertaining style of game. This is not a final score of 48-44. I mean, you're talking about, you know, teams that can put points up. And let's give Patrick Chambers and his staff a lot of credit. They've had to do this without Mike Watkins. There's a certain way you want to play, a certain way you planned on playing. And you haven't been able to do that for a month now since Mike got hurt. And Mike's not going to be playing tonight, and he's not playing, you know. He's out for the season. He's done for the season. He's on the trip, but you know, that's just it's good to keep him on the trip and around the team. Dr. Gregory Billy, to keep him around the trainer John Salazar, to do that. But Mike's not playing, and they've had to come up with a couple of different ways of how they play things, especially defensively. They've had to come up with a couple of different ways to play things. I've also saw, with John Hara, there was a little more confidence getting the ball inside to him on certain plays. Because I felt that it was taking a little while for... Because when you get the ball to Mike rarely, if ever, drops the ball. And Mike, of course, you know how he finishes. I mean, he really finishes. And I sensed there was a hesitation to get the ball to John Hara, but not so much the last couple of games, especially at Notre Dame. They got him the ball. And John's done, I mean, he's one of those young guys that's benefited from this. He has developed over the last 6 weeks. He's a guy, you know, a lot of guys have benefited from this. I found an attitude over the years that I found somewhat comical and somewhat naive. Well, in fact, extremely naive. Referring to bowl games now as exhibitions and referring to the NIT as exhibitions. All right. Now, as a fan or a reporter, you can have, if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. Well, unfortunately, just so you understand, that is absolutely not the opinion of the people playing in it. Hey, you don't have coaches coaching it like it's some meaningless exhibition. And you got Jamari Wheeler diving on the floor at Notre Dame on Saturday. Ironically, he got called for a foul on it. But he dives on the floor to go after a loose ball. All right, does that seem like a team playing an exhibition to you? Now, if you want to put it down because it doesn't meet your standard, fine, you can play your little game. But you obviously aren't really around teams to understand that bowl games to teams are not exhibitions. And NIT games are not exhibitions to basketball teams and players. If it's an exhibition, why try so hard? An exhibition is, I send you to bat twice, and in the fifth inning I sit you down. I notice these guys are playing 40 minutes. Doesn't sound like an exhibition to
me. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.